Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
The night before I wrote this sermon, my wife Allison and I, we went on a 2-hour-plus dinner date. We went to this great little Italian restaurant. We had never been there before, and one of our favorite things to do is to set a date, go, and have just a lingering time together, 2+ hours, eat multiple courses of really good food, and just catch up on life. And so for this date, we decided on this little Italian place. As I mentioned, never been there before, but had been reading the reviews, and the reviews were really, really good. And so when we walked in, man, we just kind of looked around for a second, and we knew we had gotten off on the right foot. The place was kind of dimly lit. The tables were spaced out for social distancing and 50% capacity. It was getting pretty full already, which was a good sign on a Friday evening that, man, there's other people that are thinking this is the place to be. On each table, there was a single candle that was lit. And as we walked in, we noticed there was a guy playing a guitar. He was just kind of setting the ambiance in the room, and it was great. Man, he was so just captivating as we were just kind of finding our way to our table, and our waitress seats us, and we're just kind of checking it out going, oh, I kind of like this. That was a good first impression, and the guitar's playing, and it's really, really good. And our waitress, she brings out this fresh baked bread with olive oil and with balsamic vinegar, and we just began to kind of order our food over the next couple of hours in stages, and it starts arriving at our table at just the right time, and we're just really, really enjoying ourselves. We can see from our table the open kitchen, and we can see the chefs back there preparing these incredible dishes, and so our food starts arriving in different stages. We ordered this great cheese board. We love to order a great cheese board, so we ordered this great cheese board, and Allison also had a Capri salad. We both got these great pasta dishes. I had a spicy penne pasta shrimp dish, and she got this really, really good lobster ravioli, and I mean, it was all so good, just absolutely amazing. We went ahead and said, sure, we'll get desserts, and so the desserts were to die for. She had this cannoli, I had this chocolate mousse cake, and about halfway through our dinner, we noticed that a second instrumentalist shows up, and he starts playing with this other guitarist that's over there, and we're just kind of enjoying the evening. We're kind of just hanging out. We're catching up on life. We're enjoying just kind of doing our thing over there, and then we noticed that this one song that they play, we're like, oh, man, I know that song. I haven't heard that song in a long time, and the song that they started playing that got our attention was a song called If I Were a Rich Man. It's from the musical Fiddler on the Roof. Now, if you've never seen Fiddler on the Roof, here's what it sounds like. Yeah, just kind of sounds like it's from the old country, because it is from the old country. And so this song starts playing, and we just kind of start going, yeah, that's right. Our daughter Lucy was in Fiddler on the Roof. And so we're just kind of remembering those moments watching her perform. And the music starts playing, and people are just kind of getting into this song, and all of a sudden it's like something triggered inside this little Italian restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant, he kind of makes his way out from the kitchen. He had been back there with the cooks, and this guy's kind of a heftier version of Tony Bennett, and he's got this gray beard, and he comes out, and he starts doing this dance that probably would have been seen in Fiddler on the Roof. The main character, Tevi, may have done a dance like this, and then we notice the chefs and the wait staff and the hostesses, they all start clapping to the beat as the music is unfolding, and then that just kind of gave permission for the rest of the patrons that were there. that evening, enjoying their meal, to start clapping and kind of turning their attention to these two guitar players. And it was such a fun moment. And then one of the waitresses, she starts dancing with the owner, and it was just kind of crescendoing and moving through. And all of a sudden, one of the waiters, he grabs a plate at the end and he just smashes it on the floor, and everybody erupts in applause. And it was just such a fun moment, because that's what they do overseas at the end of a real celebrative time. It was just such a fun moment. Everybody broke out into applause. Really, really wonderful moment in time. Fun, rich, happy, a full time together. And when the meal was finished and we had paid our bill, we gave the waitress, who just gave great service, a really, really fat tip that night. And I just went over and I thanked the owner and just told him what a wonderful evening we had had together. And you could just tell in his response to me that it was more than just appreciation for us being there that night. It was like we had just said something to him that resonated with his soul, as if he was going, "This is what I was made to do. This is why I opened this restaurant." And he just delighted in providing such satisfactions, not only to Allison and me, but to all of the customers that were in that place. Now, do you know why I took Allison out to eat on a long dinner date on that Friday night? It was not because it was my duty to do so as her husband, to provide a nice night out every once in a while. No, it wasn't because it was my duty to do so. It was because it was my delight in being her husband, my delight in us being able to be together, and my delight in being able to just enjoy some great food together and enjoy some time sharing about our lives and catching up after a really full week of work and of parenting and of pastoring and of just taking care of the million and one things that we take care of in our crazy life each and every week. See, dinner dates are not about duty to one another, that they are about delighting in each other as we enjoy our relationship together. And I wanted to tell that story just to kind of help set up our approach this morning to the text that we're going to be focusing on out of James's letter. Turn with me in your Bible, or turn on your Bible if you would, to the back, to James. We're working our way through this letter that James wrote, and today we're going to start in chapter 4. We're continuing in this series that we've called Life Hacks from James, How to Live Out Your Faith. I believe that the life hack that we're going to take a look at this morning from James's letter really is a key to our happiness that God desires for us to experience. Now, it can really be a key that helps us make a shift from a duty-oriented life to a delight-oriented life that God has created us not only to live and experience, but to enjoy. So let's read this text together. We'll look at this life hack from James. It's James chapter 4. We'll look at verses 1 through 10. James continues on and he asks a question to start this chapter. He says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, it's such an interesting passage that James has written that we're looking at today. And he writes it because there was an issue that was going on among the people that he loved so much. The people that he once had pastored before the persecution broke out in Jerusalem and they had scattered all around. These were people that he loved who were trying to follow Jesus, and yet as they're scattered all over the place, there's this issue that was there among them. And the issue was they were fighting amongst one another. There was quarrels that were happening all over the place. There were constant arguments among the people. Now, thankfully, we don't know anything about fights and quarrels and arguments in our world today, so we can just kind of breeze through this passage, right? Wink, wink. Yeah, of course it has something to do with us. The scripture always speaks to where we live. And so James, he's giving some direction about why these fights keep happening here in verses 1 through 6 and what God does to respond to them. And then in verses 7 through 10, James gives some direction about what we can do when we find ourselves in these situations that can help us take a step away from the fight and help us take a step toward God and who God wants us to be. And so the life hack that we're going to look at from James this morning in this passage is this right here. Do what makes you truly happy. Would you say that with me? Do what makes you truly happy. Happy. And even as you're saying that with me, I can imagine some of you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, where did it say that in here? I didn't see that life hack. Well, I'll show you in just a second, because true confession, I didn't see it either when I first was reading through this passage. Until I got into it and I was praying through it and studying it a big bit more, I was digging down into it. And as I was doing so, God brought something back to my mind. He brought a voice from my past that helped me to see something that I didn't see at first glance. And then once I saw it and once I heard that voice that spoke to me back in 1997, then I couldn't see it. I couldn't unhear what was being said here about do what makes you truly happy. And so now you may be wondering, okay, well, first show me where James says do what makes you truly happy. And then who was this voice from your past? What was it that this voice from your past said that triggered that? Well, the voice from my past back in 1997, it was the first time I ever heard a man named John Piper speak. He spoke at the very first Passion Conference that took place in Austin, Texas. And he talked about Christian hedonism. Well, let's define what hedonism is. Hedonism is when pleasure becomes the chief goal of life. And what John Piper preached about at this Passion Conference in 1997 is actually this. He said, the vocation of your life is to pursue your pleasure. I call it Christian hedonism. And you're thinking, even as you're looking at that picture of John Piper and that quote from him back in 1997, you're thinking, that doesn't sound like what God would want me to do, to pursue pleasure as the chief goal of my life. Are you sure that's what James is saying here in chapter 4? Are you sure that this life hack from James in this passage is do what makes you truly happy? It is. I'm telling you, it is. Let me show you where James starts talking about hedonism in this passage. And then I'm going to tie it in to what John Piper is referring to as Christian hedonism and how it all boils down to do what makes you truly happy. So there are two different words here from this part of James's letter that I want you not only to see, I want you to underline or circle or highlight that we are going to focus on this morning. Read with me in verses 1 through 6 again. I'll show you the two words to underline when we get to them. Let's read these six verses again. Look for two words to underline. Beginning in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions, underline that word or circle that word, highlight that word, passions, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There's that word again. Underline that word again. Passion. Circle it. Highlight it at the end of verse 3. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is of no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that doesn't sound like James has this life hack that's saying, do what makes you truly happy. Can we see that up here on the screen? Do what makes you truly happy. Do what makes you truly happy. You're going, I don't see it. It sounds like James is actually saying just the opposite. It sounds like the two words, Pastor, that you told me to underline, That's what's actually causing the problems. That's what's causing the fighting, the issues that need to be dealt with. And I would say you are right. You're absolutely right. It does go back to those two words. I asked you to underline two words, the same word in two places. It's this word passions. Would you say that with me? Passions. Passions in verse 1 and then again in verse 3. Do you know what the word for passion is in the original language? Passions in the original language is the word hedonon. Hedonon. It's where we get our word hedonism from. Again, hedonism is when pleasure becomes the chief goal of life. Or do what makes you happy. But that's not the life hack from James in this passage. It's missing a word. It's missing the word truly. You see, the life hack from James is this. Do what makes you, say that word with me, truly happy. Do what makes you truly happy. James is not saying, let's be real clear, do what makes you happy. He's not saying go after hedonism. He's not saying pursue your passion and just let that be the chief goal of your life. No, 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 no. James is alluding to a very different pronoun that actually needs to be switched out for our lives in verse 1 and in verse 3, right before the word passions. In both verses, the pronoun that we see is your passions, your passions. See, as long as you are pursuing your passions, you know what that's going to lead to? It's going to lead to fights and problems and strife and division in your relationships with one another and in your relationship with God. But if we will switch the pronoun your to His passions, God's passions, well, now we're on to something. See, your passions, your hedon, your hedonism leads to fights. But his passions, his hedon, pursuing his hedonism, that leads you to fulfillment. See, your passions just do what makes you happy. That's very different than his passions and do what makes you, say that again with me, truly happy. You see, one hedonism is focused on you, and the other hedonism is focused on God. One hedonism will leave you empty, and the other will leave you fulfilled. That's what James is getting at in verse 4. Look at verse 4 again with me. Look what he calls out to his congregation. He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." James, right here, he is telling them, friends, you're pursuing the wrong pleasure. You're aiming at the wrong target. When they're shooting for pleasure, when they're shooting for passions, you're shooting too low. God created people in His image, created all people to be fulfilled, truly satisfied, truly happy. But he's saying we got to aim higher than our passions, and we've got to start aiming for His passions, God's passions, His hedon, what He always had in mind. It's actually what C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, a devout Christian, what he writes about in his book called The Weight of Glory. Maybe you've seen this before, but look at it again with fresh eyes. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." See, what James is talking about here is how we shoot at the wrong target. We pursue our passion. We're shooting at our hedon. And yet what John Piper's talking about, what God talks about all throughout the Scriptures, is that we should be shooting at a higher target. We should be pursuing God's passion, His hedon, His hedonism. We were created, in a very real sense, to be Christian hedonists, to use John Piper's words. Because it's when we're pursuing God and what God desires for our lives, what God has created us for, that's when we're going to be truly fulfilled. We'll be truly satisfied. We will be who God created us to be and experience what God has created us to experience. Thus, this life hack from James: do what makes you truly happy. And what truly will make you and me truly happy is when we are doing what most glorifies God. Or as John Piper says in his book, Desiring God, he says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Man, such a rich, rich, rich truth and concept that came out of his book called Desiring God. I encourage you to, if you haven't read this book or you haven't read it in a long time, to order it, Desiring God by John Piper. Man, my copy is just filled with notes and underlinings and highlights, because when I got my head wrapped around this concept of God being most glorified in me, when I'm most satisfied in Him, man, it just began to release me to pursue who God always created me to be and become the person that's more and more and more fulfilled the higher I keep aiming and taking my shot in life. Man, and that sermon that John Piper preached back in 1997, back when I first thought about this concept of Christian hedonism and God being most glorified in me, when I'm most satisfied in Him, man, it just totally connected. I went back and found that sermon online and listened to these words that he says in that sermon from 1997. He says, "Knowing God and being swept up into the praises of God is what satisfies the human soul." And then he speaks on Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, "You, God, You make known to me the path of life. In Your presence there is what? Fullness of joy. And at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's what David was writing in this psalm to the Lord. God, in your hand is where all of the hedonon is found. That's where the pleasure is found forevermore for my life. And friends, God, He gives us grace when we recognize that we've been pursuing our own passions, our own pleasures, rather than God's passions and His pleasures for our life, pursuing our own happiness instead of what God says throughout His Word will make us truly happy, that's truly found in Him when we pursue Him. James, he wrote about this grace, incredible grace, amazing grace in verse 6 when he says, "But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." And John Piper goes on to say, if you try to make yourself the center of grace, well then it ceases to be grace. It's God-centered grace that's biblical grace. My delight is not in God making me the center of the universe. Rather, my delight is when God is the center, as He is and should be. When God is the center of the universe forever and drawing me up into a fellowship with Him, to see Him, to know Him, to enjoy Him, to treasure Him, to be satisfied in Him all the days into eternity. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you may know me," that you may know God. It starts on earth as it is in heaven. Friend, C.S. Lewis, man, he hit it on the head. He hit the target right in the bullseye. He had it exactly right when he was diagnosing our problem and saying that we're far too easily pleased. Not that we are pursuing our pleasure too eagerly. He says, we're like children who are just satisfied with fooling around in the slums, making little mud pies, thinking that's doing something for us, when we have no concept of what a holiday at the sea, a trip to the beach, is really like. The problem in our world, men and women, is not hedonism. It's the failure of hedonism to go for what's truly satisfying. That was John Piper's point back in 1997. It's my point this morning. We are far too easily pleased. far too easily pleased. We've settled for such a small, short-lived, inadequate, non-satisfying pleasures that our capacity for joy has begun to shrivel up to the point that we make joyless duty the essence of virtue, so as to conceal untransformed hearts that aren't moved by God anymore. And friends, God's invitation to us today is not to live a life of duty that just serves Him, but rather to live a life that delights in Him and in an authentic relationship with Him. A life that chooses to live for His name and for His fame, not just on Sunday, but every day, and brings Him glory in the process. If we will do that, if we will begin to aim a little higher and begin to pursue and live as a Christian hedonist, we will begin to experience this life hack from James. Do what makes you truly happy. And if we have been getting that pronoun for our passions wrong, if we've been pursuing our passions rather than His passions, well, that's what James talks about in verses 7 through 10. He tells us what to do very practically in verses 7 through 10. He lists out 10 different verbs. I've underlined them for you on the screen. Look what they are here. He says in verse 7 through 10, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. 10 different verbs in those few verses. James is saying here, if we want to get right with God, and if we want to be on our way to doing what truly makes us happy, man, we got to do these 10 things right here. We got to submit, draw near, purify, mourn, be turned, resist, cleanse, be wretched, weep, and humble ourselves. If we'll do these things, we won't be pursuing our pleasures. We'll be aiming higher and pursuing His. What's incredible about these 10 verbs in the original language, all 10 of these verbs are in what's called the aorist tense. That means these are all action verbs that are calling for immediate response, an immediate obedience. As my friend J.R. Vassar once said, delayed obedience is disobedience. And James, in these verses, he's calling for us to repent. He's calling for repentance in our lives when it comes to pursuing our passions. It's changing that pronoun from our passions to His passions, aiming higher to what's going to bring us true joy, satisfaction, pleasure, and happiness. It's repenting when we do that. It's rethinking the way we think about something and going in a new direction, shooting at a higher target, moving from hedonism, the goal of just pursuing our passions and our pleasure in life, and actually becoming a Christian hedonist, aiming at that full satisfaction by being who God wants us to be and doing what God created us to do. Finding our complete happiness, our total and true joy in God. Our immediate obedience, friends, to Jesus is less about duty and it's more about delight. It's that picture that I tried to describe at the beginning of this message of my 2-hour-plus dinner date with my wife, Allison. That wasn't a night of duty. It was a night of delight, of being together face to face, sharing our lives, telling our stories, sharing our painful parts, and trusting in God to keep leading us through. That's what God's calling you to. A relationship with Himself. Not one of duty, but one of delight. And if you'll do that, if you'll pursue Him, if you'll shift your target from here to here, then you and I will be on our way to experiencing the life hack from James. Do what makes you truly happy.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.